There's the Brussels story this morning. We're also covering the surprising turnabout in a key case involving privacy and terrorism investigations. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Markets are reacting to news of the carnage at the Brussels airport and in a subway station in the city center of the Belgian capital. London's 100 share index fell 0.4% as the news broke of those explosions. It's down 0.6% now. Money went into gold, which, using the New York price, is up 0.6% now. Money flowed out of European travel and leisure stocks, especially airlines, and into perceived safer havens of German bunds and U.S. treasuries, with a 10-year is up, bringing its yield down below 1.89%. The Japanese yen bounced as well. The FBI is backing away from its demands that Apple help unlock an iPhone used by one of the San Bernardino mass murderers. A court hearing scheduled for today to force Apple to comply has now been canceled. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now live. Nancy, what happened to this big hearing?
Yeah, what happened? The FBI says a third party has come forward and offered a new approach to breaking into the iPhone that was used by Saeed Farooq, who carried out that terrorist attack in San Bernardino with his wife. So now the FBI says it doesn't need Apple's help after all.
And we don't know much about this third party who helped here.
That's right. It's a mystery, David. And the FBI isn't saying much about who has offered to help out. And here's another question. If the FBI is able to hack into that iPhone without Apple's help, would it be required to tell Apple how it did that? Don Shimoleski is a senior editor at Recode.
So this is a constant game of cat and mouse. And so that the software might have a vulnerability, then Apple's engineers would need to try to plug that hole, if it were. But that this is a constant process for any company in the software business.
So, Nancy, does the cancellation of this hearing today resolve the issue of whether tech companies like Apple need to cooperate when the government asks to be let into electronic devices?
Hardly, David. Shimoleski says the FBI will be reporting back to the court on April 5th. She says some members of Congress are ready to file bills requiring companies to respond to subpoenas in the future.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you. President Obama today, on his historic visit to Cuba, will speak directly to the Cuban people. The president has already loosened restrictions on travel to Cuba and allowed Cuba to use the U.S. dollar for international transactions. These and other changes are already having a big financial impact on the island. According to new estimates by the U.S.-Cuba Trade and Economic Council out today, the potential savings and new revenues for Cuba, as the relationship thaws, will reach $800 million by year's end. But when it comes to improving the economic lives of Cubans, what are the top action points? Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson takes a look.
So, absent Congress fully lifting the embargo, which is not likely to happen anytime soon,
the number one goal of the Cuban government, and thus the Cuban people, would be to access U.S. credit markets.
John Kavalik is the president of the U.S.-Cuba Trade and Economic Council. In addition to the private credit markets, he's also talking about governmental programs through the Department of Agriculture or the Export-Import Bank, for example. But even with access, he says Cuba could still struggle to qualify for credit. In addition to Congress, the ball also rests in the Cuban government's court, says Theodore Henkin. He's a professor at Baruch College and is currently in Cuba for President Obama's visit.
Cubans often call the autobloqueo, or the internal embargo that restricts their economic and political and civic freedoms.
He said the people's top item on that domestic to-do list?
The internet, internet, and internet.
Affordable, widely accessible, uncensored internet. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Crude oil prices are up 60% from a trough last month, but oil-producing countries have been feeling the economic cost of the persistent glut. In Scotland, the northeastern city of Aberdeen grew rich serving the British oil fields in the North Sea. But those fields are among the world's most expensive to exploit. Oil companies there have laid off thousands. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more from what some call the oil capital of Europe.
The oil price decline has cheered households and businesses across Britain, but not here in Aberdeen. Local newspaper editor Damien Bates says the city is now fretting about its future.
We don't want to become the Detroit of the UK. We don't want to rely on one industry, and if it collapses and goes, we don't want to find ourselves thinking, right, what do we do next? We've got to be prepared for that now.
Aberdeen is preparing, tentatively. Last year, the oil capital of Europe rebranded itself the Dolphin Capital. I joined the head of tourism for the city, Steve Harris, for a spot of rather windswept dolphin watching near the harbour.
This is actually the best place in Europe now to see dolphins. You can see the breakwater just in front of us, and they'll be right up alongside that.
Dolphin watching is not going to replace oil and gas, though.
But there is now room for other industries. It's a big opportunity for tourism.
The cost of hotel rooms here has crashed, and with the oil industry shedding staff, tourist operators can more easily and cheaply recruit workers. And, says Harris, the city now has a world-famous resort on its doorstep.
Just up the coast there we can see Donald Trump's golf course, which may of course have a presidential seal on it soon, and which has done a lot to put golfing in this area on the map.
There's a much bigger industry lurking in the wings. When oil production ends off this coast, says unemployed petroleum engineer Mike Shepherd, there's the $80 billion job of dismantling all that scrap metal out in the North Sea.
300 platforms, several thousand kilometres of pipeline, 12 oil terminals, and that is a massive job.
Between dolphins, decommissioning and golf, this city hopes to earn its living well into the next century. And if the price of oil does rebound strongly, there's still a good 15 billion barrels of the stuff out there under the North Sea. In Aberdeen, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.